Hello and welcome everyone. I'm glad to receive your presence today evening, which celebrates literature, art, and all its glory. But before I go ahead, on behalf of... Yes, sir? So, yeah. So on behalf of SDRKF, firstly, I would like to apologize for the delay. It was a technical issue, but nonetheless, doing these events for a lot of time, we have understood that these are just little stealaways that happen when you deal with it technologically. So again, this is Priyanka Sharma, your moderator for the evening. Knowledge is the most important capital for the future. Application for knowledge is the responsibility of every learned and educated person. So SDRKF, with its motive to promote literature and words of wisdom in the mainstream, gave birth to the concept of Knowledge Series, a platform where eminent speakers share their experience with and for the society, which metamorphed into a literature festival back in December 2019 as OCLF, Orion City Literature Festival. The following second edition was conducted online in November 2020. The world was still in the realms of pandemic, but literature and knowledge leaves no human untouched of its charm. We received a very good response, and that this year again, SGRKF, in association with G.S. Raisoni University, powered by Raisoni Group of Institutions, is organizing a third edition of Orange City Literature Fest from 26th to 28th of November. And I'm glad to announce that today's session on metaphors of memory with Dr. Natma Sharma is a part of our Lit Fest and is the 56th session of our Knowledge Series. Going about it, I would like to give a little brief before we start interacting with the eminent personality today. Drawing from his years of research and practice, Dr. Natma Sharma, a pediatrician, turned to practicing past life regression theory, describes how it is possible to access powerful subconscious patterns and unlock a curative pathway. He demystifies this powerful healing tool through detailed case studies that demonstrate the release of unhealthy patterns, beliefs, and energy as a route to healing. It's a pleasure to have your presence, sir, this evening, because at this epicenter is a discussion on which stands in the book Metaphors of Memory, which offers hope to those who are interested in supplementing their treatment regimens with holistic therapies that go beyond the manifest and the physical. Importantly, it is also an appeal to medical fraternity to open up to regression therapy as a complementary, non-conventional mode of treatment. Dr. Sharma, I welcome you once again.
Thank you so much, Priyanka, for the introduction. I'm looking forward for a nice interactive session.
Okay. So with your permission, I would like to start with the questions.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So I'd like to start a little preliminary because we had a poll and where people were putting their questions. So the very first question that came up is, the past life regression is, as defined, a method which uses hypnosis to recover what practitioner believes are memories of past lives or reincarnation. But isn't this practice widely considered discredited and unscientific by medical practitioners? I mean, they just considered it to be confabulations. What's your take on that?
Okay. So if you'd asked me this question 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I would have said the same thing. I said, yeah, this is all mumbo jumbo. I mean, there's no evidence to it. But having said that, absence of evidence doesn't mean evidence of absence.
Absolutely. Yes? Yeah.
And coming to the evidence which we still don't have in terms of scientific methods. Mm-hmm. So see, scientific methods believe in objectivity. Suppose mm-hmm. it's not subjective experience. Mm-hmm. If I repeat the same experiment again and again, I need to produce similar results. That's when science proves it. Mm-hmm. But here we need to understand that every individual is unique. There's only single piece like you on this earth. There's nobody like you on this earth.
True.
And your experiences have been unique in the past. So even if you have twins, identical twins, when you look at their life, even though they have same parents, same environment, they grow up to be different people. They grow up to be different, have different characteristics. Mm-hmm. Though they have same environment given to them, everything given same, but they turn out different beings. Though they are genetically 100%. Now, how is that possible? Okay, where is the variation coming from?
Yeah.
So if I bring a person who's living in 16th century and I bring him to the current world and I show him looking at a flight, what will be his first response? He will say, oh, this is a flying bird, such a big one. We said, no, this is not a flying bird. It is a machine and there are people going, traveling in it. So that's what is happening. So when you say that, he won't believe it. He said, no, it's all magical. This is all impossible. Correct? Because in 16th century, science had not developed enough to explain that mechanism. It didn't mean that in 15th century, it wouldn't have existed. Similarly, just because today I don't have enough tools or gadgets to basically validate this process, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Having said that, I actually praise the work of Ian Stevenson, who actually is an American doctor who traveled across India, actually collecting cases of children who could recall their past memories. He would go back to that village or town or city and validate their experiences. How is that even possible? So there are so many things which science cannot answer. Just because it can't prove as it, science cannot disprove it also.
Makes sense. So, I mean, that makes it a point that the experiential validation is still under process, but until then, it is to be a conscious practice to be aware about this, right? So that brings me to my second question. Why is it important for a person in common, a person who is not necessarily coming from a medical background or somebody who does not identify so much so with this regression method, is it important for a general person to be aware about this, even if he doesn't have a significant extreme signs of this as such?
Okay. So who would go to a doctor?
Someone who has maybe some symptoms.
A problem. Okay.
Yeah.
But most of them are aware that there are doctors available, correct?
Correct.
So people who need to basically see a doctor, those who have a problem, they need to know more details about the doctor, correct?
Correct.
And people in general, this is a doctor there, fine, I don't need him, so I won't bother.
Right.
So that's how it works. So if a person is inclined to get better because there's a problem, he will look deeper into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A person who's not interested, like me, if you asked me 10, 12 years ago, I was not even interested. If somebody had spoken about it, I wouldn't have given a ear.
So how would I know that I need this kind of a therapy? Is it the responsibility of the doctor to tell me, or would they recommend this, or this is just at the fate of God that I would come to know that this kind of thing exists? Because to be very honest, before this session or before preparing about this, I had little to no idea about this thing existing, to be very honest. So I speak from the perspective of a general person.
Correct. So having known this, see, as I told you, even I didn't know it. So basically, the awareness has to increase. People are not aware of this modality of treatment, that it exists. And my whole purpose of writing this book was to bring the awareness in public, in people, that there are modalities of treatment that are available that can help you reach to the roots of the disease. That can actually augment healing with your existing treatment process. Maybe you're taking allopathy treatment, Ayurveda, homeopathy. This is just to supplement it. And in some cases, it can be the only modality to help. You don't need anything else.
Okay.
So that was the whole purpose, to write cases in different categories to show how it can help people.
Okay. I will quickly insert one of the questions by Mr. Vedant. He has asked, what are the commonest diseases that identify with something that needs this kind of a treatment? Is it like, for example, probably they mean that, is it like a headache or a stomachache or something like that? Or is it like genuine illusions that you see?
See, if I have a small headache or a stomach pain, I would first take home remedies. I won't even go, Dadi Ma, Nani Ma will say, okay, take this and you'll be fine. Correct?
Right.
But when the headache goes beyond 4-5 days, okay, let me see a doctor, 4-5 din ho gaye. And then you go to a doctor, he says, okay, you've not been sleeping well. You better sleep well and make sure you don't stress out yourself. Right. And then I'm fine. But after doing that, my headache is still going on and it's troubling me, not helping me live my life in a normal way. That's when, for chronic problems, regression is a good modality of treatment.
Okay, so I can recollect it with the fact that in the morning itself, I met a lady and she was saying that she has her BP, which is ki tendency aisi hai, that it is mostly low. But in some cases, she finds it rising, but the doctors are not able to find any reason or any logical evidence behind it. So probably now I can connect with what kind of things can access this modality. Makes sense. So now with that surrounding knowledge, I am definitely prompted to ask you, with knowledge comes responsibility, right? So while writing this book, how has the journey been as an author? Did you feel intimidated? Did you feel pressurized, to put it the right way? Or were you just excited or grateful to share that experience? How was it?
See, as a medical person myself, I always believe in evidence-based medicine.
Correct.
So I took long to write this work because I was waiting to have the cases. So when I take a case, mm-hmm. I do a complete workup, a medical mm-hmm. workup, maybe blood tests or scans or x-rays, whatever is required. Mm-hmm. I treat them, and then at the end of 6 months to 1 year, I follow them up mm-hmm. to see if the changes have happened.
Right.
So this is what I want to demonstrate. Yes, there is an objective change in the person when you look at even the lab tests. So it is just not one single moment where you feel relief and then it comes back. So, and I was, my curiosity actually is quite strong. So when I wanted people to read, mm-hmm. I wanted them to get answers. What I was looking for, what I wanted to satiate, my curiosity. Mm-hmm. So that was in the background. Second was to bring to medical fraternity. We have other tools also available, not mm-hmm. just allopathy. We can use other tools also that actually provide a holistic approach mm-hmm. to heal a person.
Right.
And of course, I was excited when I wrote the book because I was waiting for it to come out. Yes. So it took a lot of effort. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now that I am starting to get a little idea of how does this work and what can bring me to this kind of holistic approach of treatment, can you please share certain case study for our audience to connect with how this works? So for an example, somebody now knows about this, has a chronic disease, is not able to find a particular solution, and now wants to navigate this as a person. So how would that look like?
So that's why I wrote the book. Let them first read the book. They have all the examples, different varieties.
Which is the most common one?
I mean, people come with different problems like depression, insomnia, not able to sleep, relationship issues, not able to feel that, not able to feel the purpose of their life,
yep.
or phobias or fears. Or, they get panic attacks. These are all psychological things. Sometimes they come with physical problems that are chronic headaches, migraines, asthmas, some pains which are not being able to be put in a box of diagnosis by doctors called idiopathic conditions, where they don't know what's happening. We don't know. It's called idiopathic.
Okay.
And conditions where people have tried every modality of treatment and they have not found any result, that's when they approach.
Okay.
So these kind of problems we face.
I think this would be the right place to ask. Ms. Ragini is asking, I don't know how to define when I feel happy. Is that relative to anything from my past?
Okay. So first of all, Ragini, this question, you need to ask whether you can differentiate happiness from normal state or sad state. So basically we have three states. We are sad, we are normal, we are happy. Normal is like going on routine life. Happiness where you feel the joy, when you feel the excitement, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. So if you can ask her, and then we can get deeper. Because there are people who can actually have happiness around them all the time, but they cannot actually perceive it because they have enclosed themselves in a shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I feel disconnected, she's written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, disconnect.
Yeah.
So, yes, why am I disconnecting myself from this happiness? Why am I disconnecting myself? So, there is a reason behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because connecting with one another at human level, that is what defines, human beings, in evolutionary pathway. We connect with each other. We share feelings, we share emotions, we share joy, we share everything. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to that, if you are disconnected, definitely there is a problem in the past.
Okay, she has not written anything beyond it, but the fact that she finds it disconnecting now, I think supports the idea that there is something relevant. So, I mean, again, this is my question. Is this all, does this also explain why when we are extremely happy sometimes, or whenever we are experiencing something really good, there's a split second of moment when you feel extremely vulnerable or you had certain flash? You know, I mean, I have felt this sometimes that I rethink it from another perspective altogether. So overthinking is different. I know what that is. But again, like, is this also relevant to that?
Yes. So there are people who are scared to be happy.
Yeah.
Because if I become happy, something terrible is going to happen. If I become happy, something bad may happen. Or if I become too happy, this will not last long.
Yeah.
There can be different angles to it. So let me give an example I had last month. Mm-hmm. So this lady, every time she would feel happy, there is a sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach. She would say, I don't know, somewhere deep down I feel, nahin, 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 kuch toh galat hone wala, kuch toh galat hone wala, kind of thing, you know. Something bad is going to happen. So when we regress her back, we find that she's a five-year-old, she's celebrating her birthday, okay? So everything is nice, joy everywhere, people are invited, celebration, cake cutting, so many gifts. And suddenly, a bad news comes that grandma passed away. And everything is shut down. From a complete high, it's a complete fall. Everything is silenced, parents are crying. Then, I mean, she's 5 years old, she's confused, what happened? I mean, a child, 5 years old, doesn't even actually know what death means.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that time child concludes, see, I was feeling so happy. Whenever I feel happy, something bad happens. Right. So that registers. And then when you move further in time, there's another incident where it happened when she is actually in a, what do you call this swing? It's
giant wheel.
Not giant wheel. It's like, you know, it goes this way. I forgot the name. I'm not getting the name.
Roller coaster.
So what actually happens?
Okay.
She's very happy because the first time she's sitting there and she's enjoying, she's screaming, she's happy. Mm-hmm. And suddenly a kid, you know, I mean, adjacent to her, slips and falls down and hurts. And there she's feeling, see, I felt happy. Something bad has happened. So that's how our mind creates postulates or pathways.
Correct.
And we start feeling that. We store that feeling. First time it happened, it's like writing with a pencil. Second time with pen. Third time, to up to I carve on a stone. Ki, haan, jab bhi bhi main, every time I feel happy, something bad will happen.
Right.
First time, something bad happened, it may happen. Second time, wow, it is possible. Third time, it will happen. Yeah, just wait and watch kind of thing.
Right.
And then, like a clock shows, a stop clock also shows time, right time twice in a day. Similarly, when you look at life, every time you feel happy, something bad can happen in a day, 24 hours. Yeah.
Right.
But we start connecting. Dekho, I was happy, no? 3 hours ago, see, I saw the bad news. Dekho, kya ho gaya? Wahan pe volcano aa gaya. Wahan pe, you know, floods aa gaya. See? So these associations we create. And until you treat the child who is registered that, it keeps, you know, bothering us.
Right. So, majorly it develops from the evidences that you go through in your life and then you postulate all of them. So, does that also explain why certain people are very strong? Like, no matter what happens in their life, they're almost like, haan, chalo, isko manage kar sakte hain. So, is that also their conditioning? That's how they develop it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, what I find, these souls are basically, you know, they are like, you know, they born strong kind of thing. And you see people, different kinds of people. Some people are untouched, they least bothered. Yeah, tell, yeah, let's move on kind of thing.
Right.
So it is what I find basically is they have this strength from the past itself. Plus, they get a good social environment also when they grow up, most of them. But some of them, despite getting a bad environment, they tide over it and they still become strong. So ultimately, it is dependent on the soul, okay? Plus, the conditioning that happens during childhood is also important, of course.
Makes sense. So maybe, of course, that is most to do with your book, and anybody who would go through this book will be able to dissect more about this. But are there any actionables which, like, say, one or two that people can practice even in their regular life to make sure that they lead it in a very healthier way with the help of these, you know, theories which are coming from past life regression as such?
Okay. So what I would suggest is, mm-hmm. as a preventive measure, the message is not to hold on, you know. So don't let the fight cross the night. If you have a fight or a tussle, don't let it cross the night. Mm-hmm. Sort it out, express, speak it out. Because only when we hold up, we actually pent up, pile up, and then that becomes a problem. So learn to vent it out, express it out. Suppose you can't express it out to the person in presence, you just vent it out in front of a mirror if you can't. At least something is better than nothing. Then another important thing I want them to understand is, one sentence I really like is, do I need to hurt myself for others' mistakes? See, most of the time, good people suffer. Yeah, people who are mean, who are manipulating, they don't even realize they are manipulators or mean. They keep on doing. They don't have any guilt. That good people, they feel, you know, oh, why is this person doing it to me? What have I done? What wrong did I do to deserve this?
Exactly.
So, am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. Is he making a mistake? Yes. He's lying. He's manipulating. He's actually letting me down. So, is he bad or am I bad? So, he's a bad person. So, do I need to hurt myself for his mistakes, what he's doing, for his manipulation, for his lying? Okay. Mm-hmm. And do I deserve to waste my time? See, life is measured in time. Do I deserve to waste my life thinking about such people?
Makes sense. There's another audience question. Now, they have used their username, but I really like the question that they have put. When I vibe with someone, does that mean they were with me in my past life?
When I vibe, V-I-B?
I hope this is a Generation Z person.
Yeah, yeah. See, vibe language, I have a video on that, vibe language. I like this vibe language, yeah. See, some people, you connect spontaneously, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, look at the looks, ki hai sundar lag raha hai, ya kuroop lag raha hai. I mean, does he look handsome or whatever? No, it just connects spontaneously, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is, of course, kind of soul companions or soul groups or soul mates, yes.
Okay, so can you introduce me to some more terminologies? Soul companion, I heard. Soul mates.
Yeah. Soul groups.
Soul groups. Okay. Apart from that, enemies.
For example, you have a family of father, mother, brother, sister. You know.
Okay.
The whole family is again back in a similar pattern. Okay.
Like, does that happen?
In the past life also. Yeah, yeah. In the past life. I have the same parents. In this life too, I'm going through the same experience, same parents. Okay, they're soul groups.
Okay.
Soulmates are like, you know, they may be brothers in this life, wife and husband, or sisters, or good friends, mm-hmm. who were in the past connected in different ways.
I think our ancestors did, you know, have information about this, because my dadi used to say, ki tu na pichle janam mein se related hogi. So this
yes,
is
yes.
used to say ki tu meri poti hogi, main teri poti hogi, tu na mujhe bahut pareshan kiya hoga. So now I have come as the elder one. So that relates with it. But yeah, that brings me to my next question. So you're at a cross section of a medical perspective. You have a medical history as your education background. And then you also have enthusiasm in understanding past life regression. Does that make it easy to explain it to people, or is it even more diverse and deep because you understand the fact that it has to be evidence-based? So is it easy or is it even more tough?
Okay. See, having medical knowledge and medical background is a blessing, and it is actually helpful because, see, you can actually classify the problem at one go. If a person comes, you know, has a headache, okay, so I would ask specific questions. Okay, Are you bothered? Are your eyes strained? Do you get ear pain or do you have toothache? Oh, yeah, I have a wisdom tooth that's bothering me. I said, okay, that's fine. You don't need regression for it. Mm-hmm. Simple, straightforward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Second thing, my book is about connecting modern medicine with regression. Mm-hmm. How emotions, feelings, and memories and experiences can manifest disease in cells at the cellular level of the physical body.
Correct.
So that benefit I have. Third advantage I have is that when people come to me, they come with trust. Or a doctor hai. So I actually don't spend time convincing people about regression. No. It just comes. So these advantages I do have as a physician. Okay. It doesn't mean that a person who is not a physician cannot do regression therapy. There are people who do regression therapy or not medical people. They are good at it. But I have an advantage in these domains.
All right. Also, I have another question that as a professional person, I personally believe that whenever somebody is taking up anything like this, that should be done with responsibility, should get certain amount of training before they even actually undertake this kind of responsibility. So do you think there are people misusing it, which is also one of the reasons why people do not look forward to this from the medical perspective? Or do you think it is still very new for people to trust in the very first place?
Okay. So, this is very important because if I'm not well trained, mm-hmm. I cannot train. So, suppose you are a teacher. Mm-hmm. Okay. When you teach, you need to be confident. You need to know what you're teaching. You need to be able to impart what you learned. Mm-hmm. And this comes only with proper training. You've been a good student to become a teacher. So similarly, this needs training to handle situation because we don't know what kind of situation come up. What it's a Pandora's box. We don't know what is going to open up. Of course, experience teaches us every day, but we need to be sound and mentally sound. We need to be neutral. We need to be non-judgmental in this. Otherwise, very difficult to do because see, you're constantly hearing negativity from people. You know, mera ye problem hai. This is what I'm suffering from. Oh. Mental issues, sobbing, sadness. So you need to be really grounded when you when you're a therapist. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it can get on to you. Plus, you need to be trained well. You need to have your tools prepared to use when you need to use them during therapy.
Okay. I have another question, which is from Mr. Chaitanya. He said, does regression therapy has future or will it die because of people's ignorance? That's a very smart question.
Mm-hmm. So what is future? Future is next second, next minute, next hour, next day. So if you look at history, it's interesting that regression, there is actually mention about regression in ancient Egypt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As late as, you know, centuries ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you look back last three centuries, regression has actually grown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is actually becoming more and more popular.
Mm-hmm.
People are getting more and more to it.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Dr. Brian Weiss, who actually helped in marketing it. So his book did very well. And that's how people became aware of regression.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that is important that it is growing. It is not that it doesn't have future. Let's see how it progresses. But it is definitely better from last century to this century, comparatively. And when you compare it earlier.
That makes the sense. And I think that is why we say that it is here to stay. It is there to navigate itself and to help.
Definitely. People. Definitely.
I have one more question which has come from the audience. It's a little longer one, so I'll read it. Is it possible that during regression, the one incident which we feel is of past life can be your mind-made incident and that is haunting or making impact on you? That's quite a long question, but do you want me to repeat it?
Yeah, no, I understood the question. This is a very common question asked. So yes, it is possible that mind can imagine things and create things, mm-hmm. you know, during mm-hmm. a session. So see, mind always has a mental chatter in the background. Its mm-hmm. job is to just think, produce thoughts. And if you look at yourself every night, you sleep, you dream. There are so many weird dreams we get, you know, complex. We don't understand what is this. Yeah, I was there somewhere, you know, flying. I had two wings. I mean, I never thought I could do that. So there is a possibility also that during regression, you can create things. But as a therapist, it is important for me to find out what is the problem that's bothering my client. I just don't say, okay, close your eyes and now just go into past life. You can go anywhere. You can create anything. But here, we go with an issue. That's why regression is a serious affair. We actually go with a problem that's bothering you on a regular basis. It's not letting you live your life to a full potential. Yeah? Yeah. Or you have a severe phobia. So I have a phobia of, say, deep waters. Mm. Yeah. So now feel it. Yeah. My chest is heavy. My chest is tight. I can't breathe. You begin to cough. And this actually happens. Yeah. Depending upon the client, what experience they went through, and then go deeper. Where are you? Yeah, it's all dark. I don't see anything, but I can't breathe. Where are you? Oh, it's all dark. I'm already drowned in the sea. It's nighttime. Yeah, I'm tied. My hands and legs are tied. I've been dumped in the sea. So now, when you relive the experience, you finish that experience, you connect with this current life, what triggered in this life, because most of them have a trigger in this life. 99.9% people have a trigger in this life that triggered this phobia in this life. So I'm a 3-year-old boy. I'm sitting by the pool. My siblings are playing. I'm running around and I slip. I fall in water and I'm completely drowned. Water is entering my nose, throat. I'm coughing, but I can't move. Somebody brings me out. That's a trigger.
Exactly.
And that's actually evening time. It's not brightly lit. It's very dark. Okay. So actually his fear was deep, dark waters. Okay. So he gets suffocated when he sees the sea at night. Swimming pool at daytime doesn't matter. And when we finish that whole experience and we ask him to repeat the same sentence, he doesn't feel the heaviness in the chest. So that actually proves that we have actually relived the experience. It was not my creation because the body doesn't lie. And that does not produce the same kind of heaviness or cough or tightness in the chest. And then actually practically, when you go to a swimming pool at night, you don't have that fear. So that's the actual proof as to what I underwent is yes, it's an actual experience. Even at this juncture, if you don't want to believe that it was your past life, it's okay. Your mind is so strong, it underwent an imaginary experience. And you're now fine. So ultimately, what do you want to recover from the problem? Finish.
How simple was that? You walked me through a literal experience. And now I can definitely say that if I have to simply put it, it's just that I'm a product of unfinished business, which I need to live so that I complete that journey and I can lead a wholesome life. So that I take out every block that I might have because of the past or any trigger which is coming from that place. I think this conversation has left me more aware and at the same time curious about this. Probably I'm going to go and read more about this. And like you said, there is definitely an impact of connecting tendency. I would be trying to connect with a lot of things that you've said. So that brings me to the end of the discussion. But like if I had the opportunity, I would continue this for the rest of the time as much as we had. Please share any note that you want for my audience to, you know, take note of, take away from this session, because we have people connected over Facebook, YouTube. There are certain persons who are on live. So anything that you want to tell them about the book or your journey or anything.
So I would actually ask people to read the book, because the whole book is about explaining different scenarios. You know, I find people telling me, oh, this chapter was amazing. This page was amazing. There was one sentence that actually resonated well with me. It gave me answers. Similarly, I don't know where you will find your answers in the book. So that's one suggestion. And my learning during this journey is to keep your mind open, you know, to different modalities. Yeah, the more open you are, the more universe gives you. And yes, keep your mind open, keep open to possibilities. And one wisdom I constantly learn is there is so much that I don't know. Yes.
That makes sense. So we are like, yeah, in coaching also, we have this theory that development of mankind is from unconscious understanding that probably I don't know what I don't know, but then from that to I know what I don't know. This is the whole arc of a mankind. So that leaves me definitely, you know, now I'm in a connecting tendency mode. So thank you, Dr. Natpur Sharma. This was definitely a conversation which has a different angle to it, leaves some of my brain cells working already. And I'm sure the audience had some or the other takeaway from this. Of course, when we will read this book, we will find our questions, you know, answered in one or the other page. And I hope my audience reaches out to the author, because nothing, you know, validates us more than the fact that it reached out to someone who needed it and it helped, right?
Absolutely. So
I really look forward to meeting you some other time over some other platform. Until then, thank you for spreading such kind of awareness to the masses. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. So, and for my audience, please stay connected. Keep yourself updating with knowledge. There is so much in this world that you should be knowing about. Like we said, we don't know yet what we don't know, right? So just keep on updating yourself. You will stumble upon something or the other and just live your life to the fullest. Thank you. Until then, take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Years, 20 years of existence. Two universities, 23 educational institutes, offering 137 courses, 137 group of institutions, a vision beyond.